Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing, okay? The schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
right now. And welcome back to.
Can I record it? Can you give me permission to record it?
I'm recording it for you right now, sir. And welcome aboard, folks. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned to Chosen Generation Radio, ChosenGenerationRadio.com. You can watch us there and listen to us live all across our network. Thanks so much for being with us today. Well, I'm very pleased. Hour number two. And, boy, I'll tell you, we have had all kinds of technical challenges today. Very interesting. Apparently, there's some things that we're going to cover and talk about today that the enemy doesn't want us to say anything about. I'm not sure exactly how that's working out, but that's okay. We shall overcome. I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. He is running for Congress in North Carolina District 2. And I want to welcome Dr. Gene Douglas.
Recording in progress.
Okay, thank you for that. Dr. Gene, welcome aboard. Good to have you with us. How are you today?
Fine. Thank you very much for the invitation. It's my pleasure. I went to seminary just to learn to communicate better because I went to a Christian college. I'm a chemist, and basically I didn't know what I ended up doing with it, and I ended up teaching chemistry for over 30 years in secular colleges and universities. So basically I'm very familiar with the thing, but I became a Christian when I was 15. So
cool. So well, let's talk about that for just a minute. How important do you think that is in the decisions and the choices that we should be making as a nation?
Well, I see the whole concept of leadership as servant leadership, but that basically we have a responsibility to pick leaders who will treat the position as a position of service. Like I've been teaching chemistry for over 30 years. In colleges and universities, basically getting no credit, low pay, et cetera. And even running for Congress before in 2002 in U.S. Senate in Hawaii in 98 and 2000, it was to serve an educational purpose more than anything else, because I didn't necessarily expect to win, because I've always seen that God puts people into leadership, either people they deserve, like in the case of Saul, or the people that God chooses, like David, for example, the biblical contrast there between both. And I think in some respects, one of the topics mentioned in the email you sent me was about freedom. And Adam and Eve, when they were placed in the Garden of Eden, had a lot of freedom. God just told them, don't eat this one tree. Uh-huh. But basically, Eve was deceived and ate of the tree anyway, acting like God was a party pooper because the serpent said so. And unfortunately, that's the nature of the church these days. If they get an eloquent pastor or something that's teaching false doctrine, they'll go along with it because it sounds good or something like that. And same with politicians and such like that. If they make promises and yet don't fulfill them, it just shows they're just trying to get power and really don't care what the people think. And I think in some respects that basically if people don't pay attention and are unwilling to educate themselves, they get what they ask for. And unfortunately, we're stuck in that situation of those more conservatives that kind of let the liberals cheat. But they've been doing it for decades. It's no different from dead people voting for John F. Kennedy in 1960. So.
Sure.
Basically, Richard Nixon had to wait 8 years before he became president, and God used that, too, for his own purposes. But the point is, it's like I believe that God is the one that puts people into leadership for ill or gain, and it's part of his sovereignty that he works it out for whatever. And all my races have been in blue districts or blue states and such like that to try and stand up and say, I want educated people to come out and vote. Even if we don't quote unquote win, the point is we win the battle ultimately because we will eventually convince people. God will use us to convince people to take the right personal stands in their own personal lives, as well as it provides a platform to get out there and do something. Whereas most people would rather sit on their recliner and watch TV. instead of get involved, particularly when the issue of the day today is freedom to abuse and destroy and kill innocent children and infants and fetuses and such like that. And that's been the driving force of all my races, whether it be running for U.S. Senate in Hawaii, where I did pretty good in the primaries. I didn't expect to win the general, but it would be cool if I won the primaries. But the Democrats put in phony people to win the primary, so I wouldn't win. But I laughed. I still was a chemistry teacher. I still was a Christian. It's like, mm-hmm. It didn't matter to me.
So let me ask you a question. You're running now in North Carolina.
District 2, yes.
Okay. North Carolina is, a lot of North Carolina is considered to be conservative, although I know there are some really strong blue pockets. Is District 2 a blue pocket?
Oh, yeah. Like, for example, there's one famous congressman who's famous now because it's on the Judiciary Committee, Dan Bishop, who was my congressman in Robeson County when I had a house down there. And if there's a Republican or even a conservative Democrat, that McIntyre was a pro-life Democrat back when that was fashionable.
Right. Blue Dog Democrats, they call them.
Yeah, and basically those people died out or retired, and
Or were run out, really.
And so basically I was content to not get involved because I was happy with how the Republicans represented me. But I sold my house after retiring. I had a three-bedroom house that my sons don't like to visit, to come back to visit a house. So basically, I decided to sell the house thing and move to a one-bedroom apartment in Raleigh near my son and his family. I have twin granddaughters. And it's the situation where basically I found myself in Representative Elizabeth Ross's district and realized no one has taken on her vocally enough and seriously enough to, in a sense, drive home the evilness of her political positions. She might be a very nice lady, but the fact that this person supports abortion from conception all the way till after birth and is essentially a eugenicist because she thinks it's okay to trans people, which is essentially castrating girls and boys,
right,
so they can't have children.
Right.
And that's the modern eugenicist thing. And even in 1973... Okay.
Let me stop you for just a second. I'm glad for you to bring in the history. And I play Eric Holmberg has done a really good job of outing what really happened at Stonewall. And it's called From Selma to Stonewall. And I've talked a lot over the years with people about the overhauling of straight America, that document, which is really the playbook for how they have managed to move the and indoctrinate the 16 to 25 year old crowd from roughly a 3% participation in the LGBTQ alphabet soup to now it's as high as 39 to 40%, according to George Barna, whose research I respect very greatly.
A lot of that is due to mentally ill parents, particularly mothers. It's Munchausen by proxy. Essentially, the mother might hate the father with a passion. She couldn't abort the kids, so she's stuck with this little boy that desperately wants her to love him and such like that. So she decides, well, I'm going to get back at my ex or whatever else, and I'm going to make him a little girl. And then act like I approve more of him being a girl instead of a boy because he doesn't remind me of his father, so to speak. And it's a depraved
is
it's
it,
a depraved
is
thing
it,
that essentially the left
is,
uses.
Yeah, is it? But isn't it also what's happening in the schools as well? I mean, as soon as Obergefell, and actually even before that, you can go back and look at the history in Massachusetts in particular. In the high schools, they had sex education assemblies where they taught fisting and they demonstrated homosexual acts. I mean, it's pretty disgusting. And this was 20 years ago.
Well, I agree with you. I grew up in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania. Both my parents went to Swarthmore College. My older half sister and brother were people in the 60s. They and their friends and other stuff like that at Swarthmore High School were going to Hawaii to have abortions for vacation and such like that. This was in the 60s. And it's the offspring of those 60s people, SDS or whatever else. Even the judge for Trump in Washington, D.C., is the daughter of a communist. And basically, it's a situation where they're taking over and the things, because essentially the educational establishment, particularly administration, and also the liberal arts of the liberal arts, so to speak, has been hijacked by the communists and others, essentially because those that go into the humanities, social sciences, etc., are easily manipulated and indoctrinated, and the leaders who went in there, who avoided the draft in the 60s, who ran up to Canada and then came back when they felt it was safe. And people wonder why Canada is so screwed. Well, basically, Canada is so screwed because they invited all the draft dodgers from the U.S. to go up there and survive. Yeah. And it's a situation where it's like they get what they ask for. They got a Trudeau and then he got his corrupt son. So, you know, again, it's a situation where people get what they who they deserve.
Well, we're watching the same thing take place here, unfortunately. I mean, that's one of the challenges. You mentioned something a few moments ago with regards to, the base foundation and again, going back to the importance of how faith is playing a role in the decision making that you do. When we think about politicians, I ask people all the time, when I say politician, what do you think? And they say, oh, well, you know, liar and thief and all these different things. And then I say to them, you know, they're supposed to be your representation. So when you go into the bathroom and look in the mirror, what do you see? And when you stop and think about that, it should change, I believe, how we select the individuals that are going to represent us. And I think, you know, it's when you bring that up and you try to, like you're talking about that with this lady that you're running against, you know, it's you can say, yeah, she's, you know, maybe she's a nice lady. I don't know. But here are the things that she is that are the policies that she is promoting. She is promoting, as you said, the mutilation of children. She is promoting murdering babies. She is promoting
castrating and sterilizing of kids so they can't have kids in the future.
Yeah.
Because and the government decides they're not worthy. If they have Down syndrome, they should be killed in the womb. If they have Down syndrome, they should be sterilized as teenagers. If they're Black, Hispanic, or whatever else, they should be sterilized because they have too many kids out of wedlock. And it's all the eugenics. It's the liberal racism of the 20s and going backwards all the way to the KKK and others. And people want to accuse, leftists want to accuse us of being racist because we say that all lives matter. Well, the Black Lives Matter people don't seem to care about all the fetuses who happen to be Black, and particularly the girls who are killed in the womb, because it's in almost all societies, people would rather have sons than girls because sons can be productive when they grow up. And that's the perversion of the one child policy in India, as well as in China, where that Hillary Clinton crazed, and I'm sure, and Planned Parenthood page crazed as well, because basically, in spite of the fact that basically people, if they had a choice, they would kill the little girl or kill the unborn little girl. And it's perverted, it's depraved.
Yeah.
But the thing is, people have a choice. One thing that's very, very clear in Timothy, where it says that people want their ears tickled and they go after false doctrine. Well, there are a lot of people that want to be lied to because then they feel better about themselves. They want to be lied to. And so, if someone tells them the truth, you're being lied to, they'll say, no, you're the liar, you're the liar. And us as Republicans and conservatives, we are polite, and we don't really know how to respond appropriately. But we can be educated to do so and point out the fact their positions are racist and proving that they are the ones who are. And then they don't know what to respond other than call you names. And then they look stupid. So I think we just have to be smarter and wiser in how we deal this. And it's a situation where there's a lot of people that don't understand why Trump is so popular. Well, Trump is so popular because he built a business. He did it honorably. They've been trying to go after him for legal reasons for decades and been unsuccessful. And it's a situation where he decided he wanted to go out and do something. And that's not the power structure of the Republicans or the Uniparty, where they want to anoint their leaders and get more of the same of them, who essentially where power is all important. When in reality, President Trump basically wants to serve the country in spite of his many flaws, which he doesn't see the point of agreeing with. He has them because the left will use them as a club and change the subject. And so it's a situation where they're so hypocritical, they're not willing to stand by their own standards. And that's why, in some respects, God's law, as talked about in Psalm 119, helps us to discern between the evil ones and those who are truly good and serving the Lord, because those who are truly good will understand there's great freedom in the law, because God is essentially warning us what not to do and asking us to treat others as we want to be treated. And that's the nature of the gospel, but it also means that we're supposed to treat everybody as individuals. The thing is so weird is that people miss the basic science of even the color of someone's skin. If someone lives on the equator where they're exposed to the sunlight for a lot more of the year, yes, their skin will be brown because of melanin. It protects them from UV radiation. Whereas if they live in Norway, they're not exposed to the same kind of sun, and so they have lighter skin. Big deal. But the thing is, a lot of this is tribalism. It's people want tribes to fight one another, which is going on in the Ukraine and Russia. That's been going on for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. And they're both corrupt. They're both things. Both sides are corrupt, and they want to kill each other. They've been doing it for hundreds of years. And the only solution to that kind of thing is stop fueling it and say, no, you guys work it out. And basically, and those that are corrupt and want to take the money that they're getting and use it to give cocaine to themselves and then siphon it off so that they goes to arms dealers in Africa and others, it's, as far as I'm concerned, they don't deserve any taxpayer money, particularly when the taxpayer money just comes out of the pockets of working men and women in the U.S. And Representative Ross supports all that nonsense. And basically, it's a situation where we got corrupt Biden in there because Republicans were lazy and were unwilling to kind of put the safeties in place and fight back when they were trying to set this up. 2 years before 2020 happened.
What's your website, Dr. Jane?
Huh? Sorry?
Your website.
Well, it's very simple. It's G Douglas with two S's .us. And I've got a Substack. I attach my campaign website to my Substack. And basically, I got a lot of materials from Durham Materials, Twitter Spaces of all sorts of interest, even some Christian sermons and sermons by Howard Hendricks on the Christian family and on Jonah and such like that. So it's like I set that up a couple of years ago because I have a lot of stuff on my hard drives that I thought, oh, well, the public could use it. And so basically, sure, I'd love people to support to do it. And I'm hoping to raise enough money so that I can get on the ballot and continue this. But it's all in God's hands, and if God wants me to continue it, he'll provide the funds. And so, yes, to win, that's in God's hands. All I know is that God wants me to stand up and stand up for what's right and speak out. Like it says in Ezekiel chapter 3, I believe.
Yep.
It says, if you don't stand up and speak against this, I will hold you responsible. And I don't want God to hold me responsible because I know what to say.
He further says that he will hold their blood at your hands, and he says you may even lose your own salvation which falls in line with Jesus's commandment, which is the Great Commission: go ye and preach the gospel.
Right, and in some respects, we found the same thing when we were running in Hawaii, because I ran for U.S. Senate against Senator Daniel Noy. My wife decided to put her name in to run for the primary for Hawaii District 2. She won the primary and didn't get support from many Republicans because they were pro-abortion. But the point is that God enabled her to win the primary and get a third of the vote against Patsy Mink. But at least we took a stand, and that's what God wanted us to do. And the way what the campaign I'm doing now is to honor her, because she died in early July. And so it's a situation where she went to be with the Lord, and now her confusion and such like that, because her family that she came out of became a Christian at age 21 was a total mess, a disaster, as was mine. And so in some respects, she got kind of sucked back into that old family thing. But God took her home and ended her suffering such like that. And in a way, this is dedicated not only to the Lord, and but to her as well, because she made a valiant effort and won the primary and ran against Patsy Mink. So maybe I won the primary run against Elizabeth Ross, but that's in God's hands. So I'll trust him on that.
Well, we will keep you in our prayers with regards to that, and as you're doing, we'll trust that the Lord will be the one who helps you, and either way, in His sovereignty, it will work out the way that it's supposed to work out. I think you've got the right attitude about it. I would say continue to just stand on the fact that God put you in the race. And continue to let the faith of the Son of God, according to Galatians 2:20, work in you and through you. I'm sorry for your loss, but
it's funny you bring that up, because that verse was my secular high school yearbook verse that went next to my picture. So
there you go. Well, that's one of my life verses, brother. That's one of my life verses.
That's my testimony in a nutshell, Galatians 2:20. So thank you.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Hey, we're going to take our break. We come back. Melanie Couette and I had a great conversation about presenting Christianity on social media. And wasn't where we thought we were going, but it's where the Lord led us. So I'm going to play that for you coming up right now. I'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up on the other side. Let's get that rocking out.
We're fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Around, or are we done?
We are good, sir. Thank you so very much for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it.
Well, if you'd like.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air. We need people on radio willing to speak about the Bible, the Constitution, and putting God back in our nation again. So join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. That's 830-446-3624. This has blessed my business, and it will bless yours. Thank you.
We're fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
For marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in his grace and mercy sent his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, he is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect perfect action through Jesus Christ, spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy until he comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means in that moment they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak but strong, not silent but bold, and not fearful but courageous. Therefore, if you are my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
Beautiful.
And that, folks, is the genesis, the foundation upon which Chosen Generation Radio stands.
And I think it just really encapsulated the Christian life. I loved the part where you talked about how it wasn't about legalism, because I do think that many people view Christians as legalistic. And I think that there's some that some Christians deserve some credit for that thought that people have. And it's one of the complaints that I've had about, you know, social media and Christianity, and how some of us, some of the things that we post as Christians, not realizing that non-Christians are looking on, and it appears to be legalistic and not out of love. I loved the fact that you addressed falling, because I think that many Christians present themselves as ones who don't fall when it's really the opposite. One of the reasons why we're Christians is because we know we fall a lot. And that we need God's, we absolutely are in need of God's grace. That was just really good, very powerful.
Thank you, sister.
I feel like, yeah, I want to take that pledge. Like, I want to voice that pledge myself and give, because I really just think it was a very well balanced articulation of what Christianity is.
And thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And, you know, and we do, there we do fall at times, and the Lord knows that. And there's grace for that. You know, I've talked about this quite a bit this week, and maybe to bring it up again, because I think it's an important point to reiterate. There's three ways that we interact with the world as Christians. Okay. The first is with the sinners. And when we interact with them, it's not from a position of we're judging them. Remember that Jesus said in John chapter 3, the world is already judged. He didn't come to judge the world, because judgment already was there. And then he goes further on to say that light has come into the world, but men prefer darkness to light. Okay? So when they reject your initial, offer, if you will, of walking into the light, don't be discouraged, and don't be surprised, because Jesus Christ said that man has rejected the light and because he's comfortable in his darkness. So we build a relationship, but the word also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 not to be unevenly yoked, and that's not just talking about marriage. We're not in business. We don't partner with unbelievers. They don't have the same values. They don't walk under the same covering, okay? That covering is critically important. in how we walk out. So that's the first. So, but we are going to be in the world. We're going to do business in the world. Paul even says in one of the worst cases in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm not saying that you are not in the world, because you have to be in the world in order to operate. Plus the fact, and this was something that the Jews was not necessarily, because in Judaism, you were born a Jew. And so there really wasn't a question of whether or not you were a Jew or weren't a Jew, because you were born one. That was the way that worked. Now, Paul was introducing the reality that now you have Gentiles that are grafted in. And so now the gospel is advancing in a different way, because you're not born into the gospel. You're born into sin. But now you have an opportunity to receive salvation and accept Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, and the covering of his sin. So the second piece of this is the individuals that are struggling with issues. Those that are you know, more regularly they're falling. In other words, they walk well for, you know, maybe it's 6 months or what have you, and then they get trapped in a spiral. Listen, our responsibility is to bear one another's burden and to restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, lest we also should be tempted. That's the scriptural principle.
That you just said a word right there, and in the spirit of meekness. And I find with legalistic Christians in particular, particularly on social media, and I get it, especially if you're a new Christian, right? I get it. But there's this habit, I think, that many Christians have of not coming from a position of humility, as if you cannot end up in that same position that you're criticizing other people for doing, or that you did not come from that before you got saved. And I will tell you that it irritates the heck out of me because, you know, I say to those people online all the time, I'm like, you know, non-Christians are looking on at this. Or Christians arguing with each other, like Paul warned us not to do, about something very legalistic, you know? And I'm like, why would anybody looking at this thread who's not a Christian be interested in Christianity? If you're not coming from a position, as you said, of meekness
and love, Melanie, and love. Now, I'll give you an example. I had a debate with someone on the show on Monday. A chaplain that came on, and I had brought up, because there was a tweet that had gone out that Andrew, the Muslim guy, Andrew Tate had liked, and I've followed some of what he's doing. And I've commented on that. It's a shame that morality is being preached by a Muslim and not by Christian leadership.
Sir.
Okay, so anyway, so there was something that was on there that was talking about how the Jews were responsible for World War II and basically justifying Hitler's Holocaust. And you have to understand, that was that was kind of underlying, right? You know, Hitler was, you know, justified in his war because of da 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 da, and then they compared that to Russia and Putin invading the Ukraine. Anyway, so what because he had made a comment about history, and so I referenced this to bring that in and to say, and then to comment on how it was a shame that you had a Muslim who was having to remind Christians of what truth is, right? Well, then he went into, well, you know, that narrow view of Jesus is the only way. You know, that's a narrow view. That's really not. That's, you know, Muslims. You know, a good Muslim and a good Hindu and a good Jew and a da 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 da. They're all going to end up in heaven. And I was like, put the brakes on, bud. You know, the Word of God says, and so then we went down the road, and at one point I said to him, I said, so what you're saying is that God sent his son, put him on the cross, crucified him for no real good reason, because it really wasn't necessary. That's not the God of the Bible that I know.
And now when you say that, now this is a substantive discussion that needs to be had. This is not, in my opinion, what Paul was talking about when he was saying, I think they were arguing about in Corinthians about like these people eating meat and, you know, are they really Christians for not getting circumcised? All these, you know, legalistic things.
Right.
But this, when we're talking about the cross, that is not, you know, that is a core. That's the core. That's it. That's the foundation.
Well, like in the statement about marriage, when I talk about what God has instituted as marriage between a man and a woman. Look, if you're a Christian, you can't support what God's called an abomination.
No.
You know, sexual immorality is something that Paul, you know, clearly continues through into the New Testament as something that, because why? Because it's a violation of this temple, and who dwells in this temple? The Spirit of God, if you've received Christ.
Indeed. And I'll tell you, you know, one of the things that bothers me continually, especially on the social, in the social media space, are Christians who go really hard against the LGBTQ community. And I'm not going to attend that marriage because of it. I'm not saying that you should, but you need to keep that same energy if you knew that a heterosexual couple were living together. Like, you need
I don't disagree. Yeah, I don't disagree. But here's where I'm going to draw a line, and we may or may not agree on this. Here's the thing, and that's okay. Here's the thing.
It is okay.
The LGBTQ, the problem with, like, for example, once same-sex marriage became legal, what people are missing is the reason they're cutting up children, the reason they're grooming kids, the reason that they are, you know, you have seen in just the last 4 or 5 years, it was since Obergefell, and as that became the thing, okay, it used to be 3% laid claim to LGBTQ,
right.
Okay? Now, between the ages of 16 and 25, that number is as high as 40%. 40%.
Because they're indoctrinating.
Well, they have a legal ability to indoctrinate. And this is what I warned about when I first came on air. It's one of the reasons why God said to me, there's three things that I particularly want you to make sure you address: the LGBTQ agenda, Islam, and secular humanism. Secular humanism and the removal of God from the education process makes room for a false religion to come in, which is Islam. And Islam, while it absolutely rejects, quote unquote, the LGBTQ, the irony of that is that you can talk to any of our soldiers that served overseas in Afghanistan and places like that, and they had what they basically call butt buddy. I think it was either Tuesday or Thursday, and they would shine as a, you know, kind of as an embarrassment, but they would take and shine the infrared into the barracks of the Afghani soldiers, and they were all having sex with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Man on man.
I've heard this before.
Okay, and I have a story, a soldier's story, about one of our own that was raped in the showers, and then he was the one that was castigated and threatened with being turned over to the Afghani authorities, who were going to prosecute him for quote unquote falsely accusing their officers of raping him, when in fact they did. Folks, I'm telling you, so there, but here's the thing. Islam will let our moral system be destroyed,
of course,
so that they can come in and institute theirs.
Exactly. And you know, I was just explaining to someone last night, a friend of mine, we were talking about, actually it was a relative, and we were talking about a cousin of ours who is homosexual, has been married to her wife for many, many years. Listen, they know how they have kind of gotten rid of me because they know my stance on it, but I've never treated them any differently. Like she, as far as I'm concerned, she's family. She's been around forever. She's just another cousin to me. That's how I look at it. But after I must have posted something or whatever. And once they found out that I believe it's wrong, mm-hmm. then I was like persona non grata, which is crazy. Because I'm like, I've never said anything to you. You guys are grown. You have your own relationship with God. Like, what is it? But we were talking about how going abroad is what we were talking about. And we were talking about how my sister was saying to me, I didn't realize that she couldn't go to like Dubai and all these different countries. And yep. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's a huge no, because they'll kill you over there.
Yeah. Well, and so so Melanie, that brings us. So we've talked about the first one is dealing with sinners. The second one is dealing with those that are struggling with an issue, but are trying to do the right thing. In other words, they're trying to align themselves with God and they have a problem, whether it's an alcohol or a drug or a sex thing or whatever it is. And you're helping them. So you walk alongside of them to help them get on track and walk right. But the third one is those like your cousins, as an example, who say, I'm going to walk in my sin. Well, even as a believer, I have to tell you, this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5. He says, you have to distance yourself. In other words, you either treat them as though they're a sinner, but when they start saying, oh no, I'm a Christian, but I'm walking in my, no, you're not. I'm sorry, but you're not. That you can't, and not because you're offending me, but there is not a single, and I've said this so many times over the years, there's not one person who is walking in opposition to God's word, who is openly walking in sin, yet proclaiming Jesus to be saved or a follower of Christ. They support a sin position that is going to be being sent to hell, because God's judgment is that's it. If the word of God says no, then the answer is no. You don't get to change it. It's not subject. It's not an objective thing. It is or a subjective thing. It's objective. That's it. There's not one person that's going to be on their line way to hell who's going to turn to you and say, oh, hey, thank you for not offending me. Thank you for not, confronting me. Thank you for not saying anything to me. And in fact, the word of God says in Ezekiel chapter 3, if you warn someone who's walking in sin that they're walking in sin and they turn, you saved a soul. But if you don't warn someone who's walking in that rebellion, then their blood may well be required at your hands and you may lose your salvation.
Indeed. Indeed. And I feel the same way. I feel like if we're going to, and I understand exactly what you're saying, because there isn't necessarily a fornication marriage outside of wedlock agenda. But I feel like the reason why it's not an agenda is because it's so accepted.
Well, in part, but I think it's also, yes, I agree. No, and they do the other one as well. No, I don't disagree with that.
And biblically, like, isn't it all under pornea or whatever the word is for fornication? Like, biblically, right. Isn't it all in the same category?
No, I agree. But here's what I would say. The people who are living together, okay, most churches up until they started accepting homosexuality, but most churches would never put a person like that in a leadership position knowing that they are living in sin.
Right.
See what I'm saying? They're not going to reject them from a tent. In other words, where's the best place for a sinner to be on Sunday mornings or Saturday evenings or Friday nights is in fellowship with believers, learning how to overcome their sin and how to live right. That's where they should be. They should never be in a leadership position, because that means you're saying follow their example. No, absolutely not. There are sinners sitting in pews every Sunday.
Leadership position. If you know
Right, absolutely, because the Word of God says that your house needs to be in order or you shouldn't be in that place. So the point I'm making, and to your point, is that, you know, if they're in, it's just like if you've got a homosexual couple, quote unquote, coming to your church, they're welcome to come. But don't water down your message to try to accommodate. And if they start trying to push an agenda, if I had years ago, and we're going to run out of time, but this has been a great conversation. It's great. But I had years ago, I had three couples that were coming to our little fellowship that were living together, three. And two of them had been living together for many, many years.
Just get married already.
No, listen. So the reason they came is that we were loving on their kids and their kids were coming. And so they started coming. And so here they are. I preached a Father's Day message. I didn't say get married. What I said was, dads want to be heroes. Wives, support your husbands so they can be all that God wants them to be, because then they'll be all you want them to be. And then I challenged fathers to step up and be fathers and be husbands and so on. Within 48 hours, all three of them reached out to me and said, "When can we make an appointment? We've picked up our marriage licenses and we want to get married." All three of them. I never said, "You're living in sin. You better get your marriage license." I didn't need to. What I held up for them was here's what the Word of God has to say about what a husband and a wife looks like, and the biblical example of a man and a woman. And they read that and said, "We want that in our lives."
I love it. And that's exactly the way it should work.
Because it was the Spirit of God that convicted them, not the pastor. He may have used my words, but it was the Spirit of God that caused the conviction, that caused the change. And that's why, going back to, that was the Holy Spirit that just said, "Play, I believe." I'm like, I don't do that. Folks will tell you. I mean, I play "I believe" every day, but I don't play it so my guests can hear it, generally. But I heard the Lord say, "Play this." And again, it's as you, and thank you, you pointed it out. The message has to come. Paul said very clearly, and then we are really out of time, but Paul said very clearly, he said, I can do all these things, but if I don't do it in love, then I'm nothing but a clanging cymbal. I'm going to be nothing but an annoyance that drives people away. It has to, the people you're talking to have to sincerely believe that what you're saying, you really are saying it because you really love them and you believe it, and then you back it up and say it's the truth. It is the truth. And there's only one truth. And I said this yesterday. We need to stop mitigating and saying, "Well, you know, the Word of God, oh, I don't believe the Word of God. Oh, well, then let me find another way." No, I don't need to find another way. Let me explain something to you, okay? God is God, whether you want to believe that he's God or not, okay? I don't want to be standing next to you when he snatches the breath out of you. Let me tell you that.
I need you to send me your monologue.
Okay.
I think I want to do a video.
Okay.
About it.
Okay.
Send it to me.
I will.
Please.
Yes, ma'am. I will. All right. Love you, sister. This has been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Pastor Greg.
Absolutely. All right, folks. Claire Lopez, Rick Manning joining us on the other side. I'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this. Get more at the website, chosengenerationradio.com. That's chosengenerationradio.com.